Well, hello to Norma in Charlton and to Marilyn, who's home very sick with vertigo, and she told me this morning she was one sick puppy.
Aww.
And I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a little while. And Helen, I believe, is in the Northwest visiting her family. The sister-in-law just died.
They've done that.
Okay, then.
They're with Jane Carmen and Aaron.
Okay.
This is the newest grandson, Dick Davis.
Okay, you can fill us in on that later. That's where they are. Okay, and let's see, who else is missed? Debbie Myers. Derry came home and said that actually there were going to be a few more men tonight, 20 to be exact, and was that a problem? And they will expect dessert. Is that a problem? So she said she thought she just better stay home today and get ready for tonight. Must be his Bible study or something. Or Sunday school. I don't know what it is. And so who have we missed?
Deanie.
And Deanie is as near as I can figure out, is probably in over her head and busier than a one-armed paper hanger.
Well, Cammie's home for spring break. Kent had a couple of counseling appointments scheduled for.
So we're a small group, but that's okay. Couple things I wanted to share with you. One is, have you seen the new 31 Days of Praise?
No.
And, you know, I've never been in favor of it being bound as a book.
I didn't like the book.
But you all should have this. We'll get some at the office for a cheaper price. And they are thinking, of course, this looks very feminine, and they're thinking of making one that looks teenage and one that looks manly.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference in this one, they've added some things, and the things they've added are good. And then they have a journal space where you can add your own stuff. And then it also says, you know, the scripture references, and on several of them, it might say, today you might want to, this is a good time to begin using your most basic act of worship. You remember that's, and she tells you what page it's on.
Mm.
And then on some of them, it might say, this would be a good time to read a certain page, you know, where they have written what praise is back here. And on different ones, it'll say, this might be a good day to read page 150.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's beautifully, beautifully done. Mm-hmm. And the additions, you can tell it's the old one, but just with a few phrases added.
Oh, really?
That have just made it richer.
Did you get that at Mardell's?
No. They sent it to us.
Oh.
And
how long before you'll get some?
Probably just a few days.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And we talked with Warren and Ruth from Hawaii. And anyway, I just wanted y'all to know about it because, you know, if you know anybody that you'd like to give a gift to, I would highly recommend it because it's beautiful. I'll just pass it around.
So this is kind of the third different.
Really?
The first bound one was beautiful, but
it was just so impractical.
Yeah, the flip pages.
Uh-huh.
I mean the first bound one.
The first bound.
Yeah, it was bound like this.
Yeah.
It was beautiful, but I mean, you could barely open it.
Yeah. And then I wanted to just share a couple things with you from, I'm just so thrilled with mm-hmm. Keep a Quiet mm-hmm. Heart. It's so blessing me. I bought 10 of them, and you know, if anybody would like one desperately, you're welcome, because I just wanted to have some on hand to give to people, you know.
Oh, I would like to get one.
It's new, and this is kind of a distillation, is that how you say it?
Mm-hmm.
Her prayer letters that she sends out, and somebody has taken and put them all together.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, you can see that I've just marked it up. It's just really special. This one is on waiting, which is always good for mm-hmm. me. And it always helps me when she says, you know, I'm the most impatient person because everybody thinks she's so perfect. And the one I just read this morning talked about somebody asking her if she would see this pastor's wife who was scared to death to come and see Elizabeth, and just terrified, you know. And when she came away, she said she has the most beautiful smile, and her, she has a space between her front teeth, so she's just like us.
I'm perfect. I'm a real person.
Is this a daily devotional?
No, it's just chapters on.
But it's something you can just pick up and read
it
short.
Huh? Yeah, and the chapters are real short. They're never, you know, longer than that.
Carol Perry, she's desperate for things to read. But.
Waiting requires patience, a willingness calmly to accept what we have or have not, where we are or where we wish we were, whomever we live or work with. To want what we don't have is impatience for one thing, and it is to mistrust God. That's a very good statement. Is he not in complete control of all circumstances, events, and conditions? If some are beyond his control, he is not God. A spirit of resistance cannot wait on God. I believe it is this spirit which is the reason for some of our greatest sufferings. Opposing the workings of the Lord in and through our, quote, problems only exacerbates them. It is here and now that we must win our victories or suffer defeats. Spiritual victories are won in the quiet acceptance of ordinary events, which are God's, quote, bright servants standing all around us. Want me to read that again?
Okay.
Spiritual victories are won in the quiet acceptance of ordinary events, which are God's bright servants standing all around us. Restlessness and impatience change nothing except our peace and joy. Peace does not dwell in outward things, but in the heart, prepared to wait trustfully and quietly on Him who has all things safely in His hands. Nothing touches me without my Father's permission. Can I not then wait patiently? He will show the way. You know, whether this comes from, you know, we say, is this from the devil? Or she says, never mind whether things come from God Himself or from people. Everything comes by His ordination or His permission. If I mean to be obedient and submissive to the Lord because He is my Lord, I must not forget that whatever He allows to happen becomes, for me, His will at that moment. Perhaps it is someone else's sinful action, but if God allows it to affect me, He wills it for my learning. The need to wait is for me a form of chastening. God has to calm me down and make me shut up and look to Him for the outcome.
Don't you think, too, it's participating in the sufferings of Christ?
Yes.
When you're caught, forced to wait?
Yeah. And she brings out, too, in many of these, that thought. And this J.O. Frazier, you know, the great missionary to the Tibetan people in China, about 80 years ago, when J.O. Frazier was working as a solitary missionary in some name in southwest China, his situation was, in every sense against the grain. He did not enjoy housekeeping and looking after premises. He found the houseboy irritable and touchy, constantly quarreling with the cook. Endless small items of business cluttered up the time he wanted for language study, and he was having to learn to be, quote, perpetually inconvenienced for the sake of the gospel. I thought that is so good, because, you know, this morning I was trying to work on this and trying to work on this little thing I'm going to do at Sally's tomorrow, and the phone rang off the hook. And I kept thinking what she said, you know, about... That's just a good thing you didn't call that. And David was here putting lights in the bathroom and, you know, all those kind of things. And so I was thinking of when I was reading this, of those little things, you know, that you think you're doing the will of God and, you know, you've got to get this study done or something. And the phone rings and the, you know, interruptions. And the other thing that has helped me so much is her explanation of Psalm 16:5, which I shared with you all in the NIV about being this is my assigned portion. You know, whatever, mm-hmm. whatever is right now, this is my assigned portion. And then Ruth Myers wrote on that thing on stress I gave you, that verse at the top of
that. Oh, I love
that.
Psalm 62, 1
Yeah, Psalm 62, 1 and 2
Leave
in the Moffat.
Leave it all to God, my soul. My
Leave it all
comes.
Quietly with yeah. God, my soul.
My rescue and, comes from Him alone. I refuge, rescuer. He is all to me. Never shall I be overthrown.
Well, mm-hmm. you're better than I am, Sally. I haven't quite memorized it
oh,
yet.
I
but
love it.
I intend to. But I have the first phrase. Leave it all quietly with God, my soul. And that has meant so much. So anyway, she goes on and... I am finding out it is a mistake to plan. I think this is him saying this. I am finding out that it is a mistake to plan to get through a certain amount of work in a certain time. It ends in disappointment, besides not being the right way to go about it, in my judgment. It makes one impatient of interruptions and delay. Just as you're nearly finishing, somebody comes along to sit with you and have a chat. You might hardly think it possible to be impatient and put out where there is such an opportunity for presenting the gospel, but it is. It may be just on meal times, or you're writing a letter to catch the mail, or you're just going out for the needed exercise before tea, but the visitor has come, has to be welcomed, and I think it is well to cultivate an attitude of mind which will enable one to welcome him from the heart at any time. No admittance except on business, that was in quotes, scarcely shows a true missionary spirit. And I think we put that sign up, don't we, around our lives. No admittance unless on business. And one more quotation, and this is, she said, is from an out-of-print book by on the life and letters of Janet Erskine Stewart. Says one who was her assistant for some years, quote, she delighted in seeing her plan upset by unexpected events, saying that it gave her great comfort, and that she looked on such things as an assurance that God was watching over her stewardship, was securing the accomplishment of His will, and was working out His own designs. Whether she traced the secondary causes to a child wanting to pray, to the imperfection of an individual, to obstacles arising from misunderstandings, or to interference from outside agency, she was joyfully and graciously ready to recognize the indication of God's ruling hand and to allow herself to be guided by it. Mm. I thought, well, Lord, I'm not quite there yet. But, you know, what a spirit to have to count every interruption as a joyful thing, because it meant God was in control. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. He was ordaining what was happening. So... Okay, let me tell you about Marilyn. As I said, she's real sick this morning, and she is going to have the surgery now on the 25th, which is, I think, a week from Monday. So we must be sure that we're in prayer for her. And this is the shunt surgery. And then if this doesn't work, there is another surgery. Dr. Baker is the one who is the specialist on this. And if it doesn't work, then Mike McGee is the specialist on another surgery that is 98% successful. But I guess they do this one first. Because
it's March 25th.
March 25th. And she said Becky was doing much better. And she said that the D. Breston... seminar mm-hmm. was really excellent.
I heard a lot of people that were going, or I kept talking to people, said, oh, I'm going to that.
Yeah, and she said it just was wonderful, and she said they got better responses from people than either Anne Graham Lotz or Elizabeth Elliot.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
And that they felt like she was more down to their level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Marcia's partner from Nebraska called me right before that to say that's her Bible study leader up there.
Really?
In Nebraska.
Wow.
Yes. Is she from Nebraska?
Yeah, I think she's from
that's where she's from. And she's been leading Betsy in her Bible study
for
a while.
Evidently. I wasn't aware of the book, but evidently it's quite a famous book. Because I mention it every time I mention it to myself.
Beanie led that study in our church.
What is the book called?
Friendship. It's on friendship.
Really? Well, friends and Friendship or something, I think. Uh-huh.
Christy, oh, is that just the one? Mm-hmm. See, I thought that was an older one. I didn't know that was the same one.
And Royce went with Bill to Keenan's. Did she mention that?
No, she didn't, but that's...
Yeah, I think that was really good time.
Yeah, that was, I'm sure,
tell
a good time.
That?
Royce Morgan, his doctor friend that was his roommate in college, and they've been real good friends ever since. And he was in Alaska for a long time. Did you go to Alaska with us on that trip? Well, then, now he's in the Dallas area. And so this was real good that Royce went with him. And then Dana, she said, you might need to get a substitute on the vegetable tray.
Oh, okay.
She said she'd be glad to pay for someone if they could just go pick up one.
I'll do that. I'm getting a fruit tray. So
that was her request. Okay, Sally, let's begin with you.
Can I give you Helen so I don't
forget?
Helen did make the trip to Seattle, and her sister-in-law died probably about a month ago now, and her brother had died about 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, she had told us about that. Well, this sister that her brother had been married to apparently has a big family, and so she had a wonderful time with all of the family members. She was just really grateful for them.
And this was with in-laws.
Yes.
Right. Uh-huh.
With her brother's
wife's family.
Right, which were not. Yeah. So this daughter of this sister-in-law, of course, wasn't in relationship to Helen by blood, but wonderful time, she said, with the daughter, the son, their son, and in all this family there was one Christian, the youngest sister, I think, and the others are pretty far from God. So she was so glad for the warmth there.
Yes.
And they said that they were going to come out and visit John and Helen. And, of course, Helen would love for John to be able to have the contact with him because he was somewhere on another trip, I think.
Yeah, yes. He was speaking somewhere.
He was...
Or with some of his men.
No, he was... I just read it yesterday where he was, but I can't think right now.
Can't either. But anyway, she said that was a praise. That was really great. And then her neighbor across the street, Chris, she asked us to pray for.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, remember the fellow?
Yes.
They are now engaged, I believe. I think she said Chris and her fiance. They had John and Helen had them over for dinner and had a good time with them, and they're just praying for good friendship there to be built. And so that was another praise. And then... little Davis is the newest
new baby
grandson, and that was a praise. Everything went well, and they're back there now visiting Davis and Drew and Dylan, one of the other two grandsons back there. And then she had one prayer request for one of the five grandsons. Sean would be Bonnie's oldest, and I believe she said he's about. She's writing it down. How old is she?
He's just about 14 months old. Mm-hmm. Or 14
months
something
old,
like
something like that.
Just a
little
over a year.
Okay.
Because there's 13 months between the children, so whenever that second
one. Oh, and the second one was born in the fall in September, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, he was a year old just right then.
Yeah.
So it was
maybe
15 months or so.
Yeah. Or coming up to a year and a half.
Yeah.
Anyway, just that they're a little bit concerned about the fact that he's not talking. And just for prayer that she's going to, you know, ask the doctor about it just to know, is this something they should do something about, or, you know, just wait.
Yeah. You know, Jacob doesn't talk a lot. I mean, he's... certainly makes himself known.
Three sisters.
Why are we laughing? The girls are so talkative.
But, you know, he certainly, he says words and stuff and, you know, makes himself known. But our boys all talk so early that it seems...
Jonathan did the same thing.
Uh-huh.
I think it was just because...
Overwhelmed.
Yeah.
No,
he didn't need to, maybe.
Just
you know.
Yeah. Well, and David Huff, I came when he was 2 years old and lived with him for a little bit, you know, and then babysat for him And he would just go, and he would, and you know, they all knew what he wanted. So he would just make those little sounds, and so and he was okay, 2 years here. Old. Why make the effort?
Right. Jenny was trying to say something with a mouthful of food last night, and I knew exactly what she said. John said, "What?" And I said, "Sure, I'll get that." And he said, "How'd you know what she said?" I knew what she was thinking. Reminds me of that. let's see. Thank you for praying about Keemans. It was a blessing for our family, too. John and Jeff just had a wonderful time, and I just love that Jeff is getting to hear Gene, you know, those question times. John gets to share, and how many opportunities is going to have, and I'm just so thankful. He just loved it. He came home, he just telling the stories, all of Gene's jokes, you know, and then he said, and they asked him, what do you think of somebody that wears an earring, you know?
Yeah.
He just thought that was the funniest thing. So, he loved it. And I'm so glad he got in on that.
Glenn told me something funny that Kyle corrected him. I can't remember what it was now, but Glenn thought it was so funny because Jane totally misunderstood the question. Kyle said, "Dad, well, I don't know what I think about that or something." That was great.
They just ate it up as usual. That was great. And then, let's see. I guess my biggest prayer request right now would be for the Guatemala trip. Mm-hmm. Jeff and Julie leave, today's Tuesday. They leave a week from today at about midday.
Let's see, so that would be the 19th?
Yes.
Okay.
And they'll be gone for 7 days, so they get back the following Monday, about midday. And John went and had a visit with the pastor because he's going. And
the pastor is.
Pastor Jordan. Just John said to ease his comfort zone level, comfort level. And it really did help. Mm-hmm. John said it was just really a help. Said they will not be out of my sight, or Mark McClellan, who's the missionary family there.
Yes.
So you may remember Cindy and Mark McClellan. But anyway, it's a wonderful opportunity. We're real grateful for it. But they're going to sing in Spanish. They're going to go to malls, churches. It might be a crusade or something. They'll sing in Spanish, hopefully to attract attention, and I'm sure their singing in Spanish will probably attract some kind of attention because they're just learning the songs, you know, and they don't even... It's real hard, they said, to sing in Spanish because they don't understand really what they're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, supposedly, you know, be able to hand out tracts, and they have to be ready with their testimony, so they've all got... They're working on that. And see, this is neat because Julie's in Spanish. Jeff's had a couple of years of Spanish, and you know how that is. You don't really speak it much.
Yeah.
You just... So this will test them, but anyway.
So do they have to give their testimonies in Spanish?
The testimony is not written in Spanish, but they have tracts and other things in Spanish, so I don't know about that. Let's see. Julie's Spanish teacher is so excited that she's going because Julie's Spanish teacher was a missionary to Spanish-speaking countries.
Oh, is that
she
right?
She and her husband, they have a real heart for the missions, so she's thrilled and told Julie all these things to do. but they'll be there with 11. There's 11 of the students, 5 girls, 6 boys. They're all 16 to 18 years old. And then they've got the pastor and the missions director and a couple of, 3 young adults, singles. So we're praying for fruit, you know, that it'd be a fruitful time in their lives and in the lives they're trying to reach out to. And also praying for a lot of protection. Physically, Julie's sick right now, some kind of a viral thing that she gets, this congestion. And they're in the middle of trying to take all these immunizations, you know. And so I just appreciate the health and so forth and all that kind of protection. But Valerie and Loretta, you know, have stayed with McClellan's.
Yes.
That's the family that Sarah lived with.
Uh-huh.
And so they were Loretta was telling me the story about being at the market and how these gangs just came through and separated them and got $100 out of Valerie's purse. And Valerie didn't know how because when she got back to the car, she thought, oh, we're safe, you know, and we made it. She said they could see what the gang was doing and they knew not to separate, and they separated them anyway in the marketplace. But they thought, oh, well, we still got everything. It looks like we're all right. And they had taken a knife and slit her purse open. purse still hanging. You know, she still had her purse, but it had been slit open, and they'd taken the money out from the inside and just left everything out.
You didn't need to
hear
that
story. Where is that money belt?
Yes.
That'd be real wise to get for the kids.
We got money belts. I appreciate that. Any little helpful hands, we're trying to think
about
that.
Yeah, and not not put, don't put money in the kind that wears on the outside, the
no,
fanny
it
packs.
It should be in.
They can just clip that.
I guess they clip it, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and then John just had heard that the latest leader, the dictator, was just executed in Guatemala. Something John said to Jeff. Jeff loves to talk politics. Don't even ask them anything about their country, leadership. Don't say anything about politics.
And the Spanish people love to do that, too. They get really excited.
Yes, they do.
The ones we had in our home, Oscar and Conchi, the ones from Spain. Oh.
Politics
is really a big thing.
Oh. Oh, goodness. Well, anyway, we really appreciate prayer for that. And then we're still working, like Ryan, Charlton's Ryan, you know, Jeff's a senior, so we're working on all those, they call them FAFSA. You have to, if you want to apply for any financial aid, any kind of scholarship, anywhere, you have to fill out this, what they call a FAFSA, financial aid for federal aid or something. Anyway, you know, those are, it's the acrostic for it. And it is a lulu. I mean, they want to know everything.
Now, what is that, Sally?
Well, it's a financial paper that has, you can get them from any of the colleges. If you're interested, if you have somebody that's interested in going to a college, just say, would you please send me your FAFSA? And all the colleges know what FAFSA is. It's F-A-F-S-A. Let's see. FAFSA. It's something like Financial Assistant for Federal Aid. I think that's it.
Federal.
And but this isn't just for loans. It's any kind of financial assistant. Mm-hmm. Even to, if you want to go to Rose State and you want to get a one semester, you know, $200 scholarship that they'll offer all kinds of, you have to have a FAFSA. Mm-hmm. And every school we're finding out has a different due date for these. And just keeping up on it pretty well. He's really been working on it. It's like doing a term paper, you know.
Yeah.
There's so much work to putting it together. But
yeah, and they want you to write, don't they want you to write your life goals?
Yes,
or
yes, and you get to have the teacher's references and the monetary, financial, everything about your whole family, you know. And yeah, it's very complete. He's been accepted to OU, OSU, and OBU. But he's in the process of trying to see if he can get any financial aid. And they all have, as I said, these cutoff dates. So we're just praying, and he's just working on these forms. We'll see what God does. But I appreciate prayer that God would be the one that would be the deciding factor for him, you know, where he wants him, a good situation where there's a good, healthy, spiritual.
Does he have a preference?
It probably, if he could just, he'd probably like OBU.
Yeah. Is he applied at Wheaton?
No. I think all the ones he's applied at are in state.
Oh.
Well, he's gone to those, what do they call those, college
fairs.
Yeah. And he'll just ask information at booths, and they get your name, and so we hear from colleges all over the nation.
Yeah.
Oh, phone calls? Mm-hmm. You know, I wonder what it's like if you have a child that's really an athlete and sought after, you know.
Because he makes real good grades.
He makes good grades, but I mean, he's not one of those that are sought after for his athletics or anything. And I think, what do those mothers do, you know? We get calls morning, noon, and night for him. And I just, well, I said, Jeff, I'd make you feel good, you know. They probably do this to everyone because there's a lot of money involved.
Yeah.
And it's getting more and more competitive.
Yes,
really,
I think
is.
It's really competitive.
I read an article in Reader's Digest, and I showed it to Kristen, about colleges are, they're getting real competitive.
Yes.
Even some are offering in-state tuition to out-of-state students if they'll come, you know.
Oh, really? Is that right?
That's amazing.
There was one up in New York that was offering that. If anyone would come, it was like Bard College.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that it is kind of a money angle, too.
Oh, it is,
part
definitely.
For survival.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But anyway, we'd really like it to be more than that. We're, you know, a good
it's close to home is sure convenient.
Oh, I'd love
Baylor's
that.
A long
yeah. And a good, you know, peer relationship group, because that has really helped him. Okay, let's see. Then the church and the pastor asked you to pray, and the youth director and music director and all of that. We're still praying and just looking to. We've got a pastor search committee, and John was nominated, but he wasn't one of the 42 that was elected.
42?
No, I mean they had 42 or so nominated.
And they picked how many?
It's probably about 8.
Okay. I was going to say no more than 30.
They never get together.
Jerry Fine is on it.
Good.
We were kind
good.
Of hoping Jerry and Marilyn would both be on it because they traveled together, but it didn't work out. anyway, let's see. Then I think that's it. Oh, one other thing our church is involved in right now. Yeah, I would appreciate going for this because we're right in the middle of it. You know the Jesus video that Campus Crusade. Our church has bought a bunch of them, and we've got this evangelistic effort going out right around the church. There's 500 houses in Cleveland residential area, right where that Cleveland school is, and right by Taft High School or Junior High, whichever it is. And we've divided into family groups or different teams. We've got 50 teams going out. We've got 10 houses, John and I. And we're giving these away free. And then the only thing is that we just call or go back and ask them, would they please tell us what they thought about it? We do a little survey, and it's theirs to keep. And so we went out for the first time. We had a prayer walk. This is so neat. They cover this thing with prayer. First they give you a meeting of training. Then they do a prayer walk, and you go and walk and pray for the houses in the area where you're going to be giving them out. And they've got people, of course, other people in the church. They've got a big assignment of prayer. Then you go out like we did Sunday, and out of our 10, we made 4 contacts that were home. So now it's trying to get the people at home, you know, that have a VCR. They've tried to think of everything. There's a place they can go. If they don't have a VCR, there's someone that will come and bring a VCR. You know, they've tried to think of it. And we ran into just about all of it, too. Some that, you know, didn't have a VCR, but some that were Christians and didn't want to waste the video on them. And, and they said, no, give it to them anyway and tell them to show it to somebody else. So anyway, it's really exciting because they get they get about 50% to take it. I think it's 50 or 60% that actually take it. Then out of that, they get 16% decisions. That's pretty high, John said. So he was really excited about it. And our kids are doing it too, so but they're on a different team with the youth director. And so we're just trying to make these contacts now and get it all done. So I appreciate prayer that we'd be able to get them all out and that people would watch them.
I think our church did that for a little bit. I don't know if they're still following up on it or not, but Jean and I did it, and they had us take a little bag of homemade chocolate chip cookies.
Oh, how neat!
And then in it, I think we put a little bit of information on the church.
Oh, how neat! And you took it with the video.
Something to nibble on while they're watching. Popcorn.
Yes. EJ, what's his name? That's a neat idea. And then did you go back and do a survey or anything?
Well, we were supposed to follow up on it, and we were going out of town, so somebody was supposed to be following up on the ones we made contact with.
Oh, that's neat. And was it in Yukon, around the church? John would like to do it in our neighborhood.
Well, ours was kind of bad. It was supposed to be newcomers. And the lady said, well, I've lived here, you know, 17 years. I just moved houses.
Oh,
you know, some stuff like that.
Yeah, you're always going to run into that. Yeah, we ran into one address that was a storage shed or something. But we just talked to the gardener. Well, thanks. I appreciate prayer about that, too.
Okay, Linda? Did Justin get to work at Mercy? Did that work out?
No, but our friend that's a nurse there, Jane, called last night and said that they have an opening in the area she really wants him to be in. And her friend that's in the office, the main office, was going to pull his file and call him, so she wouldn't hurt if he went up there to make sure his file was still current, which he thinks it is. But he has one of his clinicals at the Mercy OR today from 3 to 11, so he's going to go a little early and check on that. So she said it would probably work out just about right for him to come in when school was out. They have to do in-house interviews first if there's anybody in the hospital that's interested. But that's what he's been hoping, that something would work out when school's out for him to have through the summer. So please pray for that. That is a real vital request right there, because he needs a regular job. It would be a job working in the operating room at Mercy. Pre-op, that means he would sterilize instruments, learn how to hand instruments to the doctors, and just be a gopher in general in the operating room, which is what he really wants to do. He's fixing to start his OR clinicals, operating room clinicals. He's done ER and, let's see, there's 3 different kinds he's doing this time. ER, OR, and
what's the third one? ER and OR, that's all I can think of.
OB?
Oh, shoot, I can't remember what the third kind is. But anyway, they're doing three times as many this time. But he's making good grades.
Would it be, you know, broken bones and what do you call it? Orthopedic?
No. I can't remember. Oh, maybe it'll come to me in a little bit. Last time I asked Sally to ask God to pray about his girlfriend.
Yes.
Well, something real exciting happened. She got saved.
Really?
Wow. Yes. One of the most thrilling times, I mean, I just compare it with my time with Anna Bob because it was just so neat. But she and Justin and I were going to lunch one day, and Justin's been learning how to play golf, so he could play golf on this trip with us and with the men. And Virgil and Kent and some guys at the office were going to play golf, and I asked him to go. And so he really wanted to because that was his very first time to play. And so I said, well, just ask Laura. He was telling her about it, and he was feeling real bad because she just came into town for 4 days, and he was feeling real bad. He's leaving her. I said, well, just ask her if she'd like, she and I could go to lunch, ask her if that's okay. And she and I have been really good friends and gotten along real well. So she said, yeah, she'd like that. So that morning I got up and I told Lisa, I said, Lisa, I know that God wants me to share with Laura today. I just know it. I mean, I just knew it because I had prayed for so long for an opportunity, and I felt really bad that she'd moved back to Colorado and that I never got a chance to share with her. And so we went to lunch, and I shared, and she was so ready, so open. I have never seen anybody since Anna that was so, I mean, just where do I sign on the dotted line, that kind of thing. So after we talked at lunch, we came back to our house, and she and I were sitting there going through the Roman Road, and Lisa came in with the boys, but she saw what was going on, so she quickly took the boys upstairs, put them down for their naps, and then she came down, and she was just kind of hanging around the corner, and as soon as Laura prayed to receive Christ, then she popped around the corner, and then she got to share her testimony, because she was saved through Campus Crusade at OSU, so she shared with Laura, you know, about what it was like for her, and then her family's reaction, because Laura's Catholic, kept thinking of you, Sally, and she doesn't know if she'll ever tell her dad, because, I mean, there's 13 children in his family, he's the oldest, and I mean, the whole family would never speak to her again if they thought she was going to be Catholic, and her mom's family's almost as bad, but her mom's just kind of a nominal Catholic. She does it because that's what she grew up, and her grandma's real strict, and that's who she lived with here. But anyway, Laura is really disillusioned with the Catholic Church, and she had told her mom before that she just didn't feel comfortable going. It didn't really meet any needs in her life, and she said, I've always thought there must be something else, but she said, I didn't know what or where or anything. And so, and Lisa and I just killed us for her to go back home, because this happened on Friday and she flew back home on Sunday. Well, and on Saturday, Lisa took her to Mardell's and bought her a Bible, you know, and we just tried to give her follow-up stuff and everything. And we were talking about a mouse there, and I'm sure it just all was going over her head because we were telling her so much stuff. We just thought, oh, she can't go back with that. And she, you know, poor girl. And she's gone, you know. But she was obviously very happy. And one of the things that I asked her, you know, was if you die tonight, you know, to go to heaven. And so then after we'd prayed to receive Christ and we talked with Lisa and everything, I said, Laura, if you died tonight, do you know where you would be? And she said, yes, in heaven. And she was really firm about it. So I just prayed. So anyway, then I called my sister, because my sister, you know, lives up there about an hour and a half from her, to see if she would consider following her up. So last Friday, they met in Denver.
Wow.
And my sister, Laura was 30 minutes late. My sister was sitting there waiting. She was saying, well, Lord, what do you want me to do? So she went to this payphone. She called her house to see if she had left a message for her. And she was standing there, and the phone was ringing. She was saying, Lord, you know, what do you want me to do? I mean, I'll wait as long as you think I should, but I don't know what to do. She said, I turned my head, and there she was driving past. And so she called her, and so they went to meet. She said it was so neat for the Lord to do that. Well, my sister led my nephew's girlfriend to the Lord, who he's now marrying, and God has led her in to teaching a little Bible study to the high school girls at her church, which includes my nephew's fiance. So she had all these books. So she was at church Sunday, and they happened to have this extra copy of this book that she has a hard time finding. It's just what Laura needed. So I mean, just God just... I mean, he has just taken such good care of her. And Sherry felt so good about their time. She said, I just went over everything with her, and she said, I'm just convinced that she knows. And the week after she got back, she's written Justin a lot, but Justin says, oh, Mom, you'll want to hear this. And he just read
it. Well, what did Justin think at first?
Oh, he was in shock. He said, you're lying. He said, no, he just did not believe it. He says, well, how was lunch with you and Laura? He was kind of nervous, like, you know, why don't y'all talk about her? Whatever. I says, well, Justin, Laura prayed to receive Christ. And he said, oh, Mom, no, she didn't. I said, yes, she did. He said, Mom, are you serious? And he was thrilled. It has changed him a lot, because here he has to, you know, toe the mark in front of this person who's watching him, who, you know, anyway, that it's been real good for him in that way, but he's thrilled. He really is. And I've heard him telling several people about it. But anyway, where was that? My sister, you know, went through all this, but she wrote this paragraph. Justin read, and she said, I am so glad that your mother and Lisa shared with me. She said, I am so at peace. She said, I don't know where I'll go to church, but at least I'm on my way. And then last week she wrote me this note, which basically said the same thing, just thanking me, you know, for taking the time. And she said, I have such peace. I know that my future's secure. And she says, I don't know where I'll go to church yet. But she told Sherry it wouldn't be in the Catholic Church. And she asked Sherry to pray that day she was going to talk to her mom and tell her mom. So y'all just really pray for her family situation. I don't think her mom is a Christian, but Justin said one time her mom told her, she was talking about praying or something. She said, oh, Lori, God doesn't care about every little detail of your life. He just, you know, just the big pictures and that. So she doesn't. She's not going to be really that much of a support unless she sees that Laura's really happy. And I'm hoping this will get through to her mom, because her mom's real unhappy. She really is.
That sounds like an unusually solid decision for a Catholic that's come out of that kind of situation. They usually have to get them in the Word and over a period of time. But for her to make the statements that she's
Laura's made, been through a lot in her short young life. She's had a lot of health problems. And there's even other things in her life that I can't even tell you about. But I knew she was ready because of the circumstances of her life. And God has just really, it's just such a unique thing, what he's done. And I can still hardly believe it, but it's just been the greatest blessing in my life. It's just been a thrill. It really has. And she's going
to
be, well, you know, God just wouldn't let me go on it. I mean, you couldn't help but love her. She's just the sweetest girl. And I couldn't help but be concerned about her. And I, even though she and Justin were breaking up and stuff, she and I just still continue to have our good relationship, you know, even though, because she'd call sometimes and just talk to me, you know. So God just allowed that closeness to, I think, to develop. But she and Lisa have been really close, too. So this was so neat for Lisa to be there to follow up. I mean, God just planned every little thing. It was just amazing to see him work all that out. And then for my sister to be willing to do it. So they're going to meet. They're going to try to meet every 2 weeks, except this first time it's going to take a month. But she just got her a really basic Bible study, you know, because she doesn't know anything. I mean, she doesn't know how to use the Bible.
Does your sister have kids at home, or what's her situation?
Well, no, her youngest is in Okinawa. He's in the Air Force. And he's flying home to get married in June. And so really, her
schedule's a little bit
mad. Oh, yeah. She's a Bible study, teaching leader for Bible study. It's like Bible study fellowship, except it's called Community Bible Fellowship. So my sister's just solid. She's just in the Word. And I mean, she teaches to these women, you know, every week. And she has the prayer group and the teachers group over. I mean, she's like a Martha James, you know. But it's so neat to see how God's used her. But I mean, everything she told me, I was like, oh, yeah, that's good. Why didn't I think of that? I mean, she just... You know, she just did a wonderful job of just reaffirming her decision and giving her materials. And she said they just had a precious time. So, and Laura, you know, in her notes said that she just really appreciated me getting together, because she said I really needed to have, because I just, Lisa and I were on the verge of getting in touch with Campus Crusade, because she lives in, right outside of Boulders, where she lives, north. I'm losing it. I think of the name of town where she lives, but it's between Boulder and Denver. And it's just like 15 minutes. So we were figuring out how to hook her up with some kind of Campus Crusade thing at CU in Boulder. But we were really nervous about just cutting her loose with just somebody we didn't know. Because what if she goes and they don't? And she already knew Sherry anyway. She had met her last summer. So that just really worked out. So, I mean, little did y'all know when you were praying. But little did I know what was going to happen. But anyway, that's the neatest thing that's happened to me in a long time. Besides Justin coming home, that's just right up north. Yeah. So, we're going to Acapulco, y'all know, and Thursday through Tuesday, and just pray for that to be a really good time. Two other young couples are going with us, the guy that works for Virgil and then our banker. They both got our church, and so just pray for a good fellowship time for Justin with that. I know he's going to, you know.
Oh, Justin's
have
going with you.
Yeah,
oh.
And he's real excited about it, but I'm sure when we get there and a couple of days,
is he going to be kind of by himself? Or?
Well, I mean, he's going to be playing golf with the guys during the day, but he's planning on meeting some girls. He says, I'll be playing volleyball on the beach some of the time, I'm sure. And Justin attracts girls like plus 20. Yeah. I mean, I don't have any doubt there'll be some girls somewhere around. But
sounds like Kyle.
But anyway, just pray that it'd be a good time with us with him and that he'll relax because he needs a break. He hasn't really had a break that much since he's been home. Let me think. There was one other thing.
Glenn and his house yet.
They're in their house.
Oh,
2 weeks.
No.
I'm sorry. I don't give a damn. It's been a week and a half, 2 weeks now, and I'm just, well, it's 2 weeks today.
How did they like it?
Oh, they love it. They're still not totally moved out of my house. In fact, Justin and I took two carloads over there, and there's still some more in the closets, but I've got everything out of the way that was out in the open. But they don't have any furniture in the two rooms downstairs besides the kitchen, but they love it, and the kids love it, too. It's really neat. It looks beautiful. It really is.
It's a brand new house.
It is. It really is. So that's neat. Anything else I had down there?
MOPS leadership you had down.
MOPS is just going wonderfully. We are having up to 24 people every time, and it's really becoming a wonderful outreach.
That's great.
But our pastor's wife and I talked a lot, and we don't have any emerging leadership to be coordinators since, because Debbie couldn't be it anyway because her little boy's going into first grade next year. So just pray that God, if it's God's will, that our leadership will emerge. I just, to me, it just seems inconceivable that we wouldn't have it when it's going better than it ever has. But their talk, and they support the organization, and she, in fact, she's been doing MOPEDS and doing a wonderful job, but we have EE going real heavy, and our church is still so small that we get major things going. There's just not enough people to spread around. So it may be that God wants us to back off and get these people trained, you know, because a lot of them are the women that are in MOPS, and then we can start back up. So I don't know what he's going to do there. I'm just kind of waiting and seeing, but if they want me, I'm back because it's just going wonderful. Really a good organization.
I was just going to ask if anybody knew about Murnie, Dean's mom.
I haven't heard anything about Murnie.
She was going to maybe be going through some withdrawal.
Oh, the other thing was, are any of y'all going to this Renaissance Ministries conference in Dallas the 29th and 30th? Ann Graham Lotz is going to be there. Ann Graham Lotz, is that right? Lucy Swindoll, Chuck Swindoll's sister. I thought that was his wife, but it's his sister.
It's his sister.
She's one of the. They're having it four places in the United States, and our pastor's wife got a hold of a thing. I should have brought it for y'all to see, but it looks really neat. It's at the. Forgive me, my Alzheimer's disease is working overtime today. Every time I want to tell you something, it's just gone. Fairmont downtown is where it is, and. We've got rooms for our church. There's about 18 of us going, so I'm real excited about it.
When is it next?
It's the 29th and 30th. It starts at like 4:00 on a Friday and it ends at 4:00 on Saturday. So we're just going to drive down that morning and then drive back Saturday night. And we ended up being able to get rooms there at the hotel, which will be nice. But it's. One of the titles of our old family life things we used to do, abundant life thing or something. This one woman started this, and I haven't seen any other names on it, and I can't remember her name either. But it's called Renaissance Ministries. I don't know how long it's been in, but different speakers are in different cities. I mean, some of them are the same, and some of them are different.
This is the thing that is I think is supposed to be the woman's counterpart of.
That's what it's being touted as. Yeah, that's what it's being touted as. And But the workshop, that what grabbed me was the workshops. They just look really, really good. So that's, I'm excited about that.
Yeah, it'd be
that.
Interesting to hear about that. I've read about it.
I should have brought the brochure.
Well, speaking of Ann Graham Lotz, do y'all, have you read in the papers that how sick Ruth is?
I just heard on the radio while I was driving over here. They said she is responding to the antibiotics. They're encouraged. Good. She's not out of the woods, but they're encouraged. Yeah. So, yeah, that was really
I was looking
shocking.
In the paper this morning trying to see if there was anything because after the surgery, and I don't know enough about spinal meningitis. They said it was a bacterial spinal meningitis, but why she had to be operated on.
I don't know either.
I
didn't know she was operated on.
And the only thing I could figure out is when they said bacterial, well, did that mean that there was
infection or a wound or something?
Something. Yeah, her back has hurt her for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, she was pretty well bedridden in the last little bit. They had to have a full-time nurse.
Our program today was a Mary Kay lady doing eye makeup, and she said that Mary Kay had a stroke about a week ago.
Mm.
She's home now, but evidently wasn't totally debilitating, but it's life-threatening.
Okay. For me, of course, this week, tonight, we go to pick up Mrs. Yerger.
Mm-hmm.
Corey and Mary are driving, so they'll get in about midnight. And pray for them because his Suburban isn't working too well, and he's coming to have Larry work on it.
Okay.
And I said, well, do you think you can make it up here in it? And he said, oh, yeah. So I would appreciate prayer today if you think of it, just for safety. And I said, well, you know, how are we going to know Mrs. Yerger? And he said, well, she knows you. You know, I mean, she knows your face. And he said, why don't you just carry a sign?
Corey's mother.
Just to be safe, you know. And Mrs. Yerger on it. Or I told the girls, her name is Sissy, and I'm having a little hard time. You know, it's kind of like Bubba.
S-I-S-S-Y.
Why?
That's a nickname.
I don't know. That's her name. I don't know
if
she has
another.
Mm-hmm.
I do that.
And so just pray that we'll really be a blessing to him. He comes in Thursday morning, and then they leave Saturday. And Corey called while we were in Hawaii and said, well, I've got some good news, Mom. He said, I think he used the word converting to Orthodox. And I said, well, good. And he was explaining that this is American Orthodox, A-O something, as opposed to the Russian or Eastern
Greek
or the Greek. And the more he studied into it, the more godly he sees it to be. And, you know, I said, well, Corey, you know, I thought you'd end up, the only church that, you know, you'd end up with be a storefront church or something. And he said, well, it's not far from that, Mom. It meets in a house. And it's a very small congregation, very loving and caring. And he loves Mr. Yerger, Father Paul, they call him. And I said, well, what about confession? Tell me about that, because that was the thing.
Oh, they have
confession, but it's not a big secret thing. It's just you and the priest just stand together in the front of the church, just the two of you, and you just openly talk, and it's not him hearing your confession as much as it is sort of accountability and making sure your heart is pure before communion, because they have communion every Sunday. And so they don't believe that you have to go to the priest. And that was a relief to me.
As an intermediary?
No, no. And he said it's more just, in a sense, almost counseling. You know, if you share something with them and they can give you a little idea of maybe what you should do. But he said there's no Hail Marys or anything that you have to do. And so he's, you know, Corey would read into it and study everything, and he's read and read and read, and he's very thrilled about it. And he said that they have some, a little bit of strange things, but that's okay. I'm strange too. So anyway, he and the Father Paul would, he was, you know, to I guess you don't really join. I mean, you're being taught for a year or something, you know. Mm-hmm. But you stand outside the door, barefoot. And they repeat things like, do you renounce the devil? Three times. And I said, why did they do that? And he said, for the Trinity. And then he said, you have to spit on the devil.
Outside the house.
Outside the house. And I said, why did they do that? He said, well, that's probably kind of an Eastern, you know, how the Eastern people go, you know, it's something they don't like, and the Jewish people do that. Mm-hmm. And then he said he takes hold of the vestment of the priest, and he leads him into the church, you know, and that's the symbol. And I guess the barefoot is, you know, you're on holy ground.
Mm-hmm. Is this after the year, you mean?
No, right now. They've
oh,
done
right
that.
Oh.
Just for each service they did?
No, this is for him being initiated in, or whatever you call it, joining the church.
Okay.
And he said it was a very, very moving time for him, and he was very teary and emotional. And you have to choose one person in the congregation to kind of be your helper, or your the person you're kind of accountable to, who tries to encourage you along the way. And he chose this older man who is a professor at one of the schools. And he said, I don't know if he had to do this or not, or if he just did it because he knew I was having a hard time, but he repeated everything with me, mm-hmm. and just to make it easier for me. And so he, and of course then that her parents just, you know, thought that was the most wonderful thing. Now they've got him in the fold, you know. And but he said, you know, Mom, the world is so wicked, and you know, we need to be part of a family, a community of believers. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, you know, I've prayed for a long time that you would be, mm-hmm. that you would see the need. And he said, you know, we'll have children. And so he had thought the whole thing through. Mm-hmm. And so, and he said that they are not, you know, like some of them, fast, I think every week, maybe for 2 days they don't eat meat or something like that, but you don't have to. Or maybe it's dairy products. Anyway, it's one or the other or both. And but none of it do you have to do. It's all very much a heart toward God, much more so than, you know, the even the Catholic Church, you know. Mm-hmm. It all seems to be designed with a heart toward God, not rules and regulations. And so I thought, well, praise the Lord. I prayed and prayed for years that he would be happy in a community of believers, mm-hmm. and feel at home. Never in my wildest dream would I have thought it would be a liturgical church. But he just loves it. So there you are. And so just pray us through this week that we'll meet the parents and that they'll love us.
When is he coming?
Tonight about midnight.
Oh, with her.
He and Mary are driving tonight. And the
no,
mother
I mean,
gets
husband,
in. Well, the mother gets in at 6:30 tonight, and the dad gets in at 10 o'clock Thursday morning because he has a Wednesday night service. And because the church is small, he didn't feel he could leave it.
And they must have something Saturday night because he had to be back for Saturday.
Well,
night.
Sunday. You know, he had to be back Saturday in order. And that was the only plane, apparently, that he could get. I think he has maybe Vespers on Saturday night, too.
He and said, this is all in their home?
They, no, it's not? It's a house, but it's a church.
Oh.
You know, and Corey said, Mom, they have more meetings than the Baptist. And he said, during Lent, every weekend we'll be going to Vespers and then church on Sunday. So he said, you'll know where we are every weekend.
And now, where are they going to live after they get married? I mean,
their plan is to go to Baton Rouge. They don't want to move immediately. They want to get married and
so
settle
they,
for a while.
Is there a Marathon Orthodox Church there that they will attend? Or
I don't know.
Have I thought that?
Do we have any around here? I've never heard of it.
No. There's two Orthodox churches, but
Greek
and Eastern,
Middle
I think.
Easters.
Yeah. But he said it's a small denomination. And so anyway, he, what did I start to tell you? Oh, that they don't want to move immediately after they're married, but their goal is to get to Baton Rouge. That's where some of their friends have gone.
And yeah, that's they're going to go to school.
They both are. Mm-hmm. And she is working as a teacher's aide for handicapped children and loves it, just loves it. And don't you know that they can immediately look at her and identify? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And she has such a heart of love. Mm-hmm. And that's what she's getting her degree in, mm-hmm. what she wants to do. Mm-hmm. So. I wrote down Mary's pastor. What was I thinking of there?
For the wedding service?
No. That was probably about the time that Sally said that they were, you know, to pray for a pastor or something. Probably Mary's folks is what I meant to write down.
So is her dad going to marry him?
Yeah. And they're going to marriage counseling with another Orthodox priest in Clinton, which is like Edmond. Mm-hmm. And they just love him. Said that his marriage stuff is so sound. And when I told Corey that the Huffs were going to have a couples shower, he said, I thought, you know, he'd say, oh, Mom, no. He said, oh, that's just great. He said, I wish I could be with Mary for all of them because, you know, with all those strange people and everything that she doesn't know. And I said, well, I'll be with her. But he just responded wholeheartedly. Wow. Thought it was the most wonderful idea. Mm-hmm. And I said that the invitation, you know, said come alone or come with your spouse and bring a recipe if you want or a bit of marriage advice and so on. And he said, oh, I think that would be great. The marriage advice is what I'd be really interested in.
This is a different Corey.
This is a different Corey, and he is so mature. And I was telling him a little, I must hurry and tell you this, but Gene is really, you know, he's always been very overprotective of me, but he's getting more so, and forgetful at the same time, you know, so it's a little bad combination. And so while we were in Hawaii, we went into Hilo after about a week. We drove in to get more groceries because there's no big grocery store, you know, there. And where we went, I said, oh, there's the Liberty House. I can run in and get my eye shadow because I had forgotten it. And he said, yes, and some beach towels. I said, okay, good. So we went in and got groceries. And as we came out, I said, I'm going to run to the Liberty House. But I can't remember if I can find the car, because we had a rental car, you know. He said, I'll find you. So I thought all was well. So I went straight to the cosmetic counter, got my stuff. Went straight to the towels. They didn't have any except for $26. I thought, I'm not buying beach towels for a couple days down here. So she said, well, just right around the mall there, you know, it's right around the corner is Woolworth. They have them. Well, it wasn't right around the corner, but it was a few doors down. Went right straight there, asked where they were, back of the store. They said, no, we don't have any, but we have these big bath sheets on sale for $8. I said, I'll take two, you know, and so it didn't take me. And so I walked out and saw him circling. Oh. And I thought, well, he'll come down this aisle. Well, he didn't come down this aisle. So I went to the next aisle. He didn't come down this aisle. So he went all over, and when he picked me up, he said, don't ever do that again. And I said, what? He said, last I heard, you just said, I'm going to the Liberty House. And I said, well, honey, don't you remember we talked about it, that I would get my eye makeup and that I'd get the beach towels? And he said, just don't ever do it again. I've been driving around for 30 minutes trying to find you. I even went in the store. Well, of course, I knew I hadn't been gone 30 minutes. But anyway, I was telling Corey this, you know, that Dad was really having a hard time over. He has to know where I am. In fact, I was at the dentist yesterday, and this phone kept ringing and ringing. I thought, well, why don't they answer? And all of a sudden, I said, oh, that's my phone.
They'll do that.
I always know it's Gene. Uh-huh. And
why don't they answer?
I thought, why don't those girls answer that phone? But anyway, he admits that he's a little overprotective of me. But anyway, I was telling Corey this over the phone, and he said, well, I understand. He said, Mary has a bad habit of being late. And he said, she was supposed to be here, you know, at 6, and she was an hour and a half late. And he said, the first thing I did,
call the police,
was I hugged her and told her I loved her. And then I told her that she should never do this again.
Oh, no, like father, like son, somebody better tell Mary what she's got one together.
John just said the same thing to me. It must have rubbed off. Yeah. If I am not where I'm supposed to be and we're out somewhere, it scares him to death.
Oh, it does. And he, you know, I would say something like, well, I'll go here. And he said, well, no, I'll go with you. And he said, you know, we're in a foreign country here. And I said,
yes,
well,
foreign country.
Oh, wow. Not really. You know. But he just does. And when we were in Europe, he would not let me out of his sight, you know, let me go take any trips by myself.
Has it always been this way? Or is it
it's gotten worse.
Worse.
But no,
but
it's
then
always.
Now, then he forgets,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah, but it's, it.
He's always been
protective.
Yes.
He's very, yeah, he's very been protective all along. But so anyway, then Corey got to talking to her dad, and loves to talk to him. They love to talk doctrine and all the deep things, you know. Huh. And he realized then that he was about an hour and a half late getting back to her.
Oh, no.
A different day, and she was real worried about him. So he said, well, Mom, so I went out and bought a wristwatch, which he has...
Would not
wear a wristwatch. No, all, you know, and I even bought him a pocket watch several years ago, trying to get him to have some way to tell time.
He bought one.
And he went out and got a wristwatch.
Wonderful. Isn't that something?
So love is doing wonderful things for him.
That is cute.
I must hurry on. Thank you for praying for Jacob. Keep praying. We've had 2 weeks now where he's been well, but the syndrome seems to be about 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they've gotten to go to church together 2 weeks.
Oh.
And he is, you know, that's what I really want for them, is to be able to get involved. They love their Sunday school class, mm-hmm. and there's some sharp young couples in there, if they can just get more involved with it. But it's
I've
always
heard so much about how bad everybody's asthma is, though. I think everybody.
No rain.
Yeah. No rain.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I wish you'd pray for my mouth. I don't know if I mentioned it before, but I keep having these reoccurring sores under my tongue and along the gum line, and it's been, you know, go to this doctor, and he sends you to this doctor, and he sends you to that doctor, and you try something else, and it gets well, and you think, oh, good, it's gone, and then it comes back, and it's always on the right side, the very same place, and they cannot figure what's doing it. And so I've had this swish and swallow, which I had to quit swallowing because it made my stomach so upset. It tastes really bad. And
they just heal up after maybe a week or something.
Oh, yeah, a week or so. And then you think, oh, good, it's gone. And then maybe 2-3 weeks will go by and then it'll come back. And right now it's really bad. And so I asked Kent Dyer if he wanted me to come back. And he said, no, I've shot my wad. I don't know anything else to tell you. So he said, go back to Dr. Satterley, and Dr. Satterley called in Dr. Wilkes, who's the periodontist.
Yeah.
So I went back to see him yesterday, and he said, I think we need another opinion. So he sent me to Dr. Duffy yesterday afternoon. Dr. Duffy said, I don't know what it is. But he gave me one of these, I think it's steroids, where you take 6 one day and 5 the next and 4 the next.
So he thinks it might be allergy related?
No. And he said...
That's for an infection.
Yeah.
Something that won't heal.
Stubborn,
something that won't heal, yeah. So I'd appreciate just prayer that it would heal. And I think that's all on me. How about you, Debbie?
Well, how is Jean's voice?
Jean's voice is doing well. It sounds kind of hoarse at the end of the day when he's talked a lot, but, you know, he, in fact, the first Sunday we were back in church, they had a time before communion for people to share, you know, so I just thanked the people for praying and told them that after 6 months of just hearing him whisper and all of a sudden, Saturday night before that Sunday morning, on the phone, he gave a deep, hearty laugh. And I said that was the first time I'd heard that in 6 months, and it was so good. And so when I started to hand the microphone back, he took it and said, Amen.
We're going to go take Luke and Jonathan to Rome and Florence for spring break. Did I drop that up?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But it's coming up now.
Yeah. March 15th.
Yeah, we leave
right?
Friday. We leave Friday. And I really liked what you read today because, you know, just getting ready to leave.
Yeah.
And my brother and his wife were here this weekend, which was a real nice thing. I feel like that my relationships within my family are getting healthier, you know. But, and this is the first time that they've come just by themselves, his little family, his wife and daughter, and visited.
And what about your visit with your mother?
It went real good.
Did it?
Yeah.
That's great.
I'm really grateful. I mean, I feel like that there's been a real change, probably in my heart as much as anybody's, you know, to heal those relationships. And I'm, of course, very grateful for it. And anyway, just getting ready, you know, getting off.
Getting ready, yes.
Kind of wild, so.
Now, do you have to get the boys ready?
That's what I
told
God this morning, you know, is, you know, help me to know that there's not anything that I have to do that I can't do with that. You know, without a quiet heart, you know. Because sometimes when I have so much to do, like when I'm doing one thing, I think I should be doing the other. And
I know, you're miserable.
And he really did. I just stayed there until my heart got quiet, and it's been quiet today, so that's been nice.
Do you have to get the boys ready, or do they get themselves ready?
Well, no, I'll let them get themselves ready, and we'll see how that goes.
Then you'll check.
But you have to make sure they have some socks and stuff. Yeah, I think they'll do a pretty good job. They're pretty used to getting. Anyway, we're real excited about it. It's been fun getting ready. That's why my brother came, because he goes to Italy a lot. He was a foreign student over there, foreign exchange student. So he brought slides and things.
Wanted to show you all about it.
Really gave us some good hints and stuff. So it was really nice. Mm. One thing I'd really like prayer for is, I know that the way God's worked in my relationships with my family and the healing that's taken place there, that same kind of healing I think needs to take place in relationship to church. I mean, I've finally gotten to where I can go to church and I can worship and I enjoy it. And this little church we're visiting now, it's a Presbyterian church, but I mean, this guy preaches the gospel. It is so refreshing. And Marsh grew up in the Presbyterian church. So it's really kind of neat for us to be there. But I still have a lot of hesitancy about becoming a part and all that kind of stuff. I just think that really our whole family needs a spiritual healing. Gabe and Krista aren't really involved in church. Ben's fiance is a new Christian, and she is probably the most gung-ho, one of our children. And she's not one of our children yet. But anyway, I just pray for, you know, just that. I know that God, it's taken a lot of patience, and I've tried to do what I felt like He was having me do at the time, what I could do, you know, what I was capable of doing. And now I just have a desire to get back involved in a church.
What church are you going to?
It's St. Stephen's Presbyterian.
Where Metropolitan used to be.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But it wouldn't even necessarily have to be that church, but that is a sweet church, and it's not very big, so it's kind of... It feels good to go there, and that's what I finally tell God. I said, if you can just find a church where we can go and worship, and, you know, which I feel like I've gone backwards spiritually, but I really think it's forward, because I'm letting go. I have spent quite a few years letting go of all the outward stuff, and it's become more of an inward relationship, and I feel like that is stronger than ever, but I guess it still scares me to be not real involved in a church.
Because that probably was security to you in a way.
Yeah, it was. It was.
Okay.
But really, those are the main things.
Okay. Oh, you'll have a ball. Okay, Dana.
I have some from Debbie Myers. Let's see, she's in this counseling course at Scope with Mary Jane Hall and John Cook. And it's just an awful lot of material. And she asked that we would pray that it got from her head to her heart. She said she really needs to think it through and absorb it before she'll ever be able to really use it. And then Mike and Joy are expecting.
I was thinking of that this morning.
And she said Joy's just really concerned that she make it through the first 3 months, you know. And so I just pray that she'd have a real peace and that it would be a healthy pregnancy.
What's the due date?
October 7th. Okay. And then, I don't know, I just seem to have a lot of things. If you would pray for Grant right now, he's down in Mexico with two friends from Baylor. And there are two guys that went to some Christian academy in Dallas. They sound like really neat guys. And they had this itinerary worked out that they were going to do. Of like I said, we haven't heard from him. I hope he's okay.
Can I bring in that Abby's down there now?
Where are they?
I talked about it before the...
Where are they?
Grant, they're in Mexico.
Okay.
And then...
does he come home?
I'm not sure if that's Saturday. He over the phone gave me his itinerary, and I couldn't spell any of the words. You know, I was just kind of trying to write them out. We're leaving Saturday to go to the Cayman Islands, Kirk and Grant and Annie, and Kirk and Blair and Annie and I, and just pray that it would be a special time. My niece, dating a guy that was...
Saturday you're leaving?
Okay. Yeah, and we'll come home the next Saturday. But, and then we are involved in what is called now First Southern Fellowship. And Tom Mellup had just a real vision of starting a satellite work in Northwest Oklahoma City. And he shared this with Kirk several times. They talked about it. And Kirk said, well, we'd be interested in that. And so we kind of jumped in and met at their home a couple weeks ago. I mean, they were going to get all the corp, you know, ground floor people. Well, it was us and one other couple and some staff. And then we met the next week in our home, and we had, you know, probably 30 people. And some of those are staff. And what it is, it's utilizing all of First Southern staff to do a Northwest Fellowship. And the goal is to meet at the Marriott. They have a 9:15 service there. And then they could come over and do an 11 o'clock service here. And it would be, well, Debbie was there at, when we were at, in Hawaii for that ISI board meeting, they had a church that was meeting at the Ilokai. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And they just utilize those facilities. They come and meet, and then they disperse, you know. And so anyway, that's the goal. And Kirk and I have had some real confrontation. I said, now what is he expecting of you? What is he expecting of us? I mean, are you the engine behind it? He goes, no, I mean, but we got that understood. We're just a component in the deal. And if it works, it's of God. And if it doesn't, you know.
Who comes? I mean, what's the objective there? Because they've got the church in Del City, and you've got your church here.
Well, now we've left Cherokee Hills, and we joined First Southern.
Oh, okay. This is not making sense to me. I thought, now how are you doing this?
We just have God pulling us away, and we visited Village, which is a great church. We visited Quail Springs and Heritage, and visited First Southern. And when the day we were there for the second time, I said, now Annie, I really feel God might be leading us to join here. Are you ready to do that? She went, no. I went, okay, well, you really need to be thinking about it, because I think this might be where we end up. So the next Sunday, we joined. But
Blair feels good about it.
Yeah, uh-huh.
They've got a neat youth group.
Well, and it's a real difference from what we thought we would be getting into. I mean, we thought we were going for a youth group for Blair and peer group for us. And, you know, I don't know how much he'll be involved with their youth ministry there, although he's going to be going to camp with them and all. And their youth minister has come over for the last two Saturday nights and spent time with Blair and this little friend of Blair's. And
who's their youth minister?
Rick Chambers. This guy that was an OBU graduate. But anyway, so...
So, but now you're not really at First Southern.
Not really. In fact, the Sunday we joined, Brother Tom said, now, the Humphreys are coming and they're wanting to be a part of this vision we have for Northwest Oklahoma City, you know.
Did you know about that?
Oh, yeah, I knew about it, but I just don't want to be responsible for it. You know, I've been reading books.
And now the church that is meeting at.
By Rick Warren, you know, that did Saddleback, and there's this guy in the Colorado Springs, Haggard, that did this type of church. And, you know, it took their life. I mean, they started in it young, and it took their life.
Yeah.
And I said, Kirk, I'm glad to help, but I'm not that person that it's going to. You know, put out their whole life to make it happen. Because it's not us. So anyway, but you
get
know,
it in writing.
Well, we had a real.
This was makes much more sense deal. Now that we know she's there. It was not clicking with me.
I'm sorry.
What are they doing?
No, it was real argument over there. No, but I think. Last Sunday, we had the service Saturday night at our house, and we had, like, Rod and Stavannah came, and they brought a couple, Randall and Corey, that he's known since grade school, that have been through a real tough time, miscarriage and stuff, and their marriage. This couple that lives right across the street from Jack and Bonnie, they're members at First Southern. They have four boys and they homeschool, and he's a real entrepreneur type, but they came.
I know that name.
The Flats, Tim and Cheryl Flats.
I think so. That was another name. Maybe across the street.
Pruitts, you were thinking
of. Used to be there, But anyway, I mean, when people left Saturday night, I said, Kurt, we have a church. I mean, you can really sense that something's happening. And Tom and we went on to First Southern, or maybe it was Saturday night he used an illustration about.
So Tom Eliff was there.
Yeah, he comes and does the service. Uh-huh. Their music man comes and does the music. And the first night we met, they brought a girl and her husband. She was in the Moscow Symphony, and she and her husband played violins together.
I mean, it's just so it's a night heavenly. Service.
Well, it was Saturday evening for now in the home. Mm-hmm. But they'll probably end up putting it on Sunday morning. Yeah.
And they're going to still lead it, that staff?
Yeah.
They'll just do it like.
How are they
going to
do it?
He'll do a 9:30.
He'll do the 9:15 service there, and then come over and do the 11:00 service.
So he just still preaches one service at their church.
Right.
Okay.
See, they have a Sunday school worship Sunday school. Well, their big facility is the worship center, which can hold 7,000 people, and they have 2,500. But they have Sunday school worship Sunday school, and so they have the 9:15 worship, and then he could come do the 11:00 worship at the Marriott.
Wow, he's going to be busy.
So Sunday morning, Kirk has told Assured Blair and Annie if they do church Saturday night, they don't have to do it Sunday morning. You know? So Sunday morning, we went and had breakfast at the Marriott. And kind of like your prayer walk, we just kind of walked back through the facility there. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, the whole back hall is empty. All the banquet rooms back there are empty on Sunday morning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's like something, it's just waiting for something to happen.
Uh-huh.
And so then Blair had to get some stuff at Home Depot. We rode over there and parked, and Annie and I stayed in the car. And I picked up, I had notes about, I think errands I need to run on the back of this letter from Josh McNeil. And I opened up, I was reading, was told about this lady that's going to Russia with him this summer. And she had gotten copies of More Than a Carpenter and decided she'd go to the mall and see if people would be receptive to literature distribution. You know? So within 7 minutes, she had handed out 20 copies of More Than a Carpenter. I thought, why can't she do that here at Home Depot? I mean, there's people coming in and out all morning, you know,
huge.
At Home Depot. And there are people that are probably professional, wife works, you know, and that's their time of the week when they can get something done around
the house. This was on Sunday morning?
Yeah. 10:30, you know, when you feel guilty about
Sunday morning.
I'm getting over that. I don't feel guilty.
Uh-huh. Not going on Sunday morning.
No, Sunday afternoon, I was like, now, are we going to church tonight? I think. But it's, it's been real uncomfortable. But it's something that I think God's really leading in.
I think Randy Faulkner at Metropolitan was encouraging some of their people that were grounded to come to the early service and then go visiting during the 11:00 hour, which, you know, was revolutionary. For
what a lot of people at Metropolitan aren't comfortable with that.
No.
So anyway, that's what's happening. We're involved in it, and we'll see what happens.
You don't know what's going to happen, but you're
there. Tom has said, you know, he has a friend who's half Jewish, and he wants to come and do the Passover Saturday before Easter. But really, we might even be at the Marriott by then. We're going to be gone the next two Saturdays, and they're going to meet at the Flats house. But we'll come back and see what happens. He had invited everyone to come next week and just have some input on what they thought this ought to be. You know, they had a vision for what they'd like to see happen. And we won't be there enough, so.
Well, make sure they don't appoint you to something while you're gone.
Sometimes it's dangerous.
The answer is no.
But, you know, I've loved for the last 2 weeks having it. In fact, the first night we met, we went to an OU ball game, and we didn't get home till like 6:00, and it started at 7:00. And I just thought,
oh wow, you were having the men to your home.
Yeah, I mean, I just thought,
I'd be a nervous wreck.
This isn't my deal. Glad to have him. You know, I knew the house was presentable, but so we'll just see what happens. Let's see. We had Rose Day, and that went real well. Beverly LeHaye spoke. And
she had what?
Rose Day at the state capitol, March 5th.
Oh.
It's when you take roses to your legislator. And we had Beverly LeHaye speak, and
did
she said to tell you hello.
Oh, bless
her. I told
her
you were in Hawaii. And then I've just been praying, too. There's a little girl at Cherokee Hills that I think has the same thing that Mary had, the same disease, the immune deficiency, and she's losing her hair. It's Katie Hannibal. Mm-hmm.
Do you really think? Yeah, I knew that she was losing her hair, but is it still going on?
I think so.
Oh,
but I just wondered if
How
there might be.
How old is she?
She's about six, seven. If there might be a way for her to meet Mary. You know, just
Mary
kind of
be delighted.
Prepare. You know, I don't know if it's. I know they're trying to treat it, and I'd ask Dr. Saad about it. He said, well, that's an immune deficiency. It's real tricky. Uh-huh. A lot of times the treatment doesn't help.
There's a little girl at Covenant. I can't think of the name because you might know the family. But she lost most all her hair and just wore scarves and things for a while. And her hair after a year or so now is coming back.
Is it really?
So I guess sometimes, you never know, sometimes they do.
This happened to Mary when she was four. I think it was what they call alopecia or something
alopecia.
Like that.
Yeah, alopecia. Glenn had a spot like that on his head when he was
Nancy wrote the word down
grade.
For me and that's what it was.
Yeah, that's what Glenn's was, but his stopped and then grew back in. But Dr. Beeler told me at that time, he said, this is not an uncommon thing. And he said, most of the time it does grow back.
Uh-huh.
He said, it's unusual if it doesn't.
Oh, boy, Mary's head doesn't even look like it's got, follicles. I mean, it's smooth
what,
as it can be.
My housekeeper in Hereford, her daughter, when she was, I think she was preteen, but she was maybe like 9 or 10. Uh-huh. Hers all fell out. And I talked to her mother since then, and she's never gotten hers back.
Well, just pray for them. Okay. Mm-hmm. I just happened to notice it at church, and it was just a few weeks after you'd first told us about Mary, you know.
Is that cancer?
Kids, yeah.
Is that their only child?
They have a little boy, Tyler, too.
She is a beautiful child, just an absolute angel. Biggest brown eyes and smiles all the time. Mm-hmm. Yes,
and she's
just
about
four.
No, she's six or seven.
She's in second grade.
She might be eight.
Well, I know Mary. I mean, if there was any way we could arrange it, Mary would be glad to talk
to her. I'd even thought about calling Nancy, telling her about the shower, and just seeing if they wanted to drop in at the shower, as if they were coming to it, and you know, if that would be all right.
Sure.
Well, does Katie know that? I mean, does she understand what's going on?
I don't know. And Nancy at this point is saying, well, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. You know, we don't know if she'll be wearing a wig or, you know, I kind of thought no one wants to wear a wig, you know, not a child.
Mm-mm.
And, but I'll call her and mention that to her.
Just tell her that she's going to be here. And it, I don't know anybody that could be better adjusted about it than Mary is. So.
I'd like you to pray, too, that God would just do a real work in Kristen's heart and life. If there's any way that there could be reconciliation in their family, that it would take place. I think there's just so much hurt and fear and but we're really at this point feeling like that's the way God wants us to pray, that there'd be a healing. And then I had a real answer to prayer. I mean, I have in this book, this is my 1994 book that I still use, but this lady that was helped me with decorating, Ann Simpson Boyles. I have tried to call that lady for 2 years, and I couldn't get her to answer my phone calls. And I mean, sometimes I get so mad, sometimes, but always God just seemed to say, you know, just wait. Mm-hmm. And one time I even felt, okay, I'm going to do 6 things to encourage her, and after that I'm going to get mad. So I mean, I sent her some cards, and I gave her a Bible one time. A couple of cards different times, and I leave phone messages, and she never answered one. Well, I ran into a couple people that knew her, and they said, oh, she's been through a real tough time. I thought, yeah, I guess so. She called me yesterday, or was it Tuesday? And I just went, I couldn't believe it. But she said, oh, yeah, I had a breakdown in August. I thought, bless your heart, you know. But she's coming by tomorrow with pillows for my divan. And, I mean, I tried to get those pillows when I had a shower for Dave and Krista.
Oh, no.
That was 1993.
The next shower.
Yeah, before, 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. You mean you have not talked to her in all this time?
No, we've left messages.
You mean you were still in the midst of trying to do some decorating?
Oh, she had pillows for my divan that I had the fabric and the trim.
Oh, I thought you were just trying to relate to
her. No, I gave her the stuff to make the pillows, but she called me.
Good
and
grief.
She's coming over tomorrow, and I just said, praise the Lord. But, I mean, this is something, it's like an open sore. You know, you just keep wanting it to heal, and there's just no closure to it. But just praise God that she called and she's well enough to converse, I guess. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Well, you never know what you might have done.
But when you talked about the spiritual victories are won in events, what you read about
the ordinary.
Yeah, mm-hmm. In events which are ordinary events. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is one thing. I mean, so many times I just thought, how do you fix this? I kept going, Kirk, what do I do? I don't know.
You didn't ever go to her house or where
she
works?
Oh, I went and sat by her office. I've been to her office probably 3 or 4 times. One time I sat there for 2 hours just waiting, thinking she might drive by. I knew where she went to the beauty shop. I mean, it's been real frustrating, but I think she's just been very unhealthy, you know, mm-hmm. emotionally and in every way. So when I thought of her, I tried to pray, not get mad. But she's coming by tomorrow. I even called her last week and invited her to this fellowship we're having. Because, I mean, she talked about how she works 7 days a week, you know, 24 hours a day sometimes. And
no wonder she had a breakdown.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. She's a real temperamental driven artist type, you know. Mm-hmm.
Sure is a good decorator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does look great.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember one time you were upset because she kept dropping by with stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
She just kept bringing stuff out for her. And then Elijah
she got said she kept it. She
yeah,
got that
yeah, she did.
She said, she wouldn't come again.
She got the message.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
You were asking us to pray about Blair's school, that you weren't happy about it. Is that
better? Well, I think that worked out. I brought him back. We were late coming back from Nashville, and I took him into school about 10:30. I was going to just drop him off. I had to sign him in. And I saw the principal, and I could tell he was kind of going, kind of, I want to talk to you. So I went in and visited with the principal. Did I tell you that? Well, he said, now explain to me what's going on, you know. And I told him how Kirk had talked to him. Uh-huh. Then Blair got to class, and the teacher said, I think your dad wants you to redo this assignment. And Blair was mad because he didn't want to redo it. And we felt the teacher kind of deceived Blair in that. He said, well, I might have led her to believe that because I kind of thought Kirk was thinking that way. And as we talked on, this was the Pangea thing, you know, where the continents, the theory that they drift apart. Well, he said, well, what this boils down to is your faith. I said, yes, that's right. He goes, well, he said, let me assure you, we provide a service, and you're the consumer, and we have to make you happy. He goes, and we will make sure that Blair can have another assignment. I said, that's great. I mean, but he's a Christian. He's a member of Southern Hills Baptist and a neat guy. But he said, really, he said, I have not had complaints on this teacher. And I said, oh, let me tell you, I've heard a number. They just haven't verbalized. And since then, though, like, I visited with him on a Tuesday, well, the next week on Thursday, about 3 couples went in and talked to him.
That's
good. You know,
need to hear.
Yeah, he just has not heard the complaints that people have.
Yeah.
And so what his goal is to make his teacher successful. And he said, unless I hear complaints, I don't know that there's a problem, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I said, well, you know, I'm sorry I didn't come in and talk to you sooner. I said, from my point of view, I'm always thinking I'm unprepared. I don't know exactly what to say. I don't want to be a problem, you know. He said, well, I just need you to come in and tell me if you have a problem. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, you know, that's true. Even if I can't verbalize what I want to say or put it in the right words, I ought to go in and tell him, you know, I'm feeling something is wrong here.
Yeah.
You know? So, but he was really, and she then told Blair that he could have an alternate assignment in the next unit. So I think that turned out
real
good.
That's great.
So you're not looking for another school at
this point, no. One other thing, I've got this long list, I hope this isn't too long, but Dick Peterson, we've had a couple conversations with Janet, his wife, and she can't let Dick know that she's calling, but she's real worried about him. Mm. He's had these mini strokes that Gene has had, and it's affected his voice. Yeah. It's real similar. Mm-hmm. And Kirk called him after we had the service Saturday night. I said, why don't you use this as an excuse to call him and kind of tell him what's going on. And so we did, and we got to visit with him, but I think he's becoming real unsure of himself, and she said in church, if he goes, he won't converse with anyone. He just kind of hangs his head, and she said it's just so unlike him.
Yeah.
And she is really fearful that he'll come to the point of not being able to handle things, and then she can't care for him, you know. Mm-hmm. So she doesn't know what to do. And so Kirk had talked to Dick and said, wondered about you and Virgil and us going out there sometime to play golf.
Just to say, hey,
we want to come out and play golf with you and spend a couple nights.
I would love to do that.
Where are they?
In Phoenix.
Oh. Uh-huh.
They're out there by themselves with really...
They moved out there for health, but it hasn't for a while it was great, but now she's back really bad. It's probably stress causing it because he's a caregiver to her. She has terrible back problems and stuff. Uh-huh. And
she says that she really senses that he's depressed.
Well, he's never had any health problems. He's always been so healthy. Mm-hmm. And I imagine that's part of the depression is that he feels like he can't keep himself fit. What will they do?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everything's compounded. Her mom died about 8 years ago, and her dad remarried this real, sounds like pushy woman, and his whole will is changed. And, you know, Janet has had just severe health problems almost... Well, since midlife, probably since she was 35 or younger.
She had back surgery, which caused scar tissue, and they've gone in several times, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. She's just on pain medicine constantly. I don't think she'll ever be pain-free.
But she worked her whole working career for Benham, the Denine Group or whatever, and they still have her on health insurance. I mean, they're really committed to care for her.
Oh, wow. That's great.
So... But we need real wisdom if we do get to go out and visit, just how to help them.
Uh-huh.
We would love to do that.
I think it'd be a real special time.
Oh, I would love to see them. See, when he comes, he'll come to church. They come once a year at Christmas, but her dad is so demanding, she can't even leave. She goes to see him, and she never leaves. I mean, Dick will come to church, but we never get to see Janet. And we can't go over there because it would be intruding on him. It's just a strange situation. It kills Dick because... Well, he was here at Christmas, and everybody just flooded him, and you could tell he just loved it. But I sensed something was wrong.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. There was something wrong.
Hmm. And one more is Emily McMain, Cynthia and Larry's oldest daughter, is a senior, and that's why I was interested in this offer or whatever it costs. But they're really looking for scholarship money for her. She wants to go to OBU. And she's valedictorian of her class in Seminole, and she's made a 29 on ACT. But if she could get a 31, she could get a full scholarship. She's taking it this Saturday again.
That all the honor?
Well, you know, I called Cynthia, and I said, hey, I noticed this guy from Seminole got this National Merit Scholarship. She goes, well, who was it? I said, well, I can't remember. Well, I found it. And it was a guy named Michael Bonner, who's black. You're supposed to be the top one or two in your class.
That's what it said.
The counselor, by mistake, gave him an application. He's like... Not one or two. Emily and the salutatorian are one and two.
Uh-oh.
And I don't know if because he's black, but he got a scholarship.
Because and I he know wasn't that even blacks that are
That's what that article said. You have to be one or two in your class to even qualify.
Well, Cynthia knows David Bourne, and he's one of the he's the foundation chairman. She's a good call. Not to strip the scholarship from the guy that got it, but to say, hey,
they give
Emily should have
100.
Had that.
Last year.
Well, there were 800 and some applicants, and they gave 100.
Well, and one of the girls from our church had a 32 or 33, and she was everything, straight A and a high ACT and everything, and high in service, really good FAFSA. And she was eligible for a full scholarship, but because they had so many, they had to select only 10 that they gave full scholarship to, so she got a half scholarship.
Oh, to where?
OBU.
OBU.
She's at OBU.
With Cynthia, and then I called her last night to tell her I found the article and it was in the Sunday paper. She was she just started crying.
I would not be surprised that it's because it's black, because I know of other blacks that are
but
at college.
But still, when that's the criteria, I mean, black.
Well, the counselor gave it to him by mistake, and they said, oh, I didn't realize that, and then he gave Emily and the other boy one, but didn't feel like he could withdraw it from the kid that he gave it to. And then the kid ended up winning it. So, you know, they have to pay. $1,000 a month is their insurance premium, which covers the boys' gamma globin, you know, which they have to take monthly.
What do the boys have?
The combined immune deficiency, SCIDs, severe combined immune deficiency.
Oh. They have two children.
Yeah, they got the two girls and then the two boys both have it.
Oh, my.
And so, you know, I think Larry, his practice is doing well. He's an attorney there in Seminole, but just to meet... The basics, you know, really.
But when you take $1,000 a month just
cash.
For...
You can't even get gamma globulin because they were going to try to give it to the kids going to Guatemala. The health department won't even give it now because it's so
heart to get a hold of. They came out with a bunch that had hepatitis C.
Good.
In fact, Northwest Practice, they had to pull it. A bunch of shipments had hepatitis C tainted. So we thought, well, we'll get it from the health department. No, they said, we have such a short supply. We are only allowed. Anybody, if there's an outbreak in this country, but we're not giving it to anybody just as an overseas protection thing.
Wow. Well, see, one day a week, a home health nurse comes to their home. The boys stay home from school, and they have an IV. They watch about 2 videotapes, and they pump it in, and it gives Matthew this horrible headache.
Oh.
But, I mean, if they didn't have that, they wouldn't be alive. Yeah.
How did they get it?
They were born. It's an inherited birth condition.
How old are they?
And the other one.
Matthew's almost 14,
wow.
And Daniel's
12.
So they don't go to school?
Well, those the days they get the gamma clot.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's... Anyway, just pray for Cynthia and for Emily that scholarship money would come through.
Yeah, I think they might take those things into consideration. That would all go on their form.
Yeah. Well, and I think, too, this FAFSA, they could definitely probably get something through that.
Mm-hmm. FAFSA.
FAFSA,
yeah.
And the girl's name is Cynthia.
Well, that's my friend, the mother, is Cynthia.
She's Sam Hammond's sister.
Yeah.
Oh.
And the daughter's Emily.
Emily.
But, I mean, Emily, she's been a straight-A student, and she's just a beautiful young girl, you know, and plays tennis. She was like, well, they got doubles. I think she and Jeannie are playing in the doubles this year, state tennis tournament, and they'll probably win that playing together. But
Wow.
Sharp girl.
That's great.
Well, that's my list, I sure.
Yeah, I'll be sure to keep praying for Kevin.
Mm-hmm. Now, I thought he was going in February for the dissertation, no?
He changed his dissertation a bit. Probably will not have to go to Africa, which is just fine with us, because he was going to stay with a friend of a friend in Cape Town. Mm-hmm. And... his committee reviewed it, they wanted him to go for 9 months or a year.
Africa?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Instead of 3 months was to be the longest. And they said, well, we think you ought to just go for 9 months or a year. And well, he didn't want to do that. So he changed the direction of it a little bit. And it looks like now he won't have to go, but he hasn't heard for sure back from the committee.
Will he be coming to the wedding?
Yeah. Yeah, he's going to be in the wedding. Stand up. He's going to have his 2 brothers. So, yeah, they both, Kyle and Corey, are very loving and supportive to him. And they, you know, they feel it's very wrong, but they really just love him and accept him. And
that's what's going to do it. Mm-hmm. Only right. That will mm-hmm. do it. Mm-hmm.
I have to go, but can I just pray and then leave?
Yeah.
Father, we just